Welcome to Acorn to Oak with Penny Quayle Pierce and co-host Matthew Donaghy. Within each acorn, there is the DNA that strives to be a mighty oak tree. All it needs to reach its potential for greatness is to be activated. You are the acorn. On this show, we will share with you the tools and guidance you need to grow into the person you are meant to be. And now your host, Penny Quayle Pierce and co-host Matthew Donaghy.
Hi guys, good evening, good afternoon, depending on your time zone. Good to be with you. We were talking last week about superfoods and all sorts of wonderful natural remedies. And this week we wanted to finish off talking about that because it's such a huge subject. But also wanted to talk about, you know, everything in the universe has a vibration. Everything resonates. Yeah, our body does, and so does our food. And it's, you know, we were talking about spices and superfood groups last week. And I wanted to talk, we wanted to talk about our body's vibration and the vibration of our food. You know, the body has a supreme intelligence that can eliminate any dysfunction and disease. But it can't do it, you know, it can't do it unless you're in a natural resonance. Yeah, it's like playing Mozart on an out of tune piano, or building a business out of alignment with your spiritual vision. It just doesn't work so well. You know, true health is a process of restoring the body and bringing it back to the natural resonance or vibration. When the body is in harmony, health naturally exists. You know, food is medicine, and we forget about this. That's why nutrition is the single most important pillar in my superhuman ritual ritual practice. Yay! So I hope you could, you know, we've come to share insights into the ritual to help you support you with your daily life and energy management. And it's very much about energy management here, but Matthew's here, so I'd like him to be able to say hi, and how are you?
Hey everybody, good afternoon or good evening. Glad to be back, because on reflection after the show, there was sort of so much that we wanted to say, so it's nice to be able to carry it over and cover some more stuff as well, especially going into the energetics and that as well. So, yeah, really glad to be here. Hope everybody's well. We seem to be in the UK getting back to a little bit of normality. We've had all the exam grades come out today, so we've had wild screaming teenagers everywhere, so that's good. They all seem to get the grades that they deserve, so that's a positive. But yeah, very much, I know, I think what I was talking about last time was we started talking about salt, wasn't it?
Yes, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so when I started doing my Reiki training, salt is something that I started using in my house, in showers. It's something that obviously Penny recommended. And I found a huge difference. And I know I shared last week that there's lots of different types of salt. Obviously, a Himalayan salt is really, really good, not only as a food grade salt, but for in the baths if you want something like relaxing, for muscle sort of aching, if you've done anything physical, it's using an Epsom salt because it's particularly high in magnesium, and you'll find that a 20 minute salt bath after a whole day of grafting, like I used to do on the building site, was 20 minutes in the bath with Epsom salt and you'd feel brand new the next day. And I couldn't believe the difference it made, but just having salt in the bath. And then you think back of all the days that you go to the beach and you think it's the day of fun that you've had that makes you feel so good, but actually just inhaling the salt air is very good for you. We used to do a lot of treatments out of a salt cave, where it was all lined with salt and Epsom salts on the floor, but they used to throw it out into the air as well, And you'd feel amazing when you come out of this place, like completely sort of
renewed.
renewed, thank you. And it is that, just that, when you get to the, when you go to the beach, I mean, even just walking along the beach can be really good, especially for respiratory stuff. But yeah, salt is an amazing sort of mineral. And it's something, I know it's a little bit crazy, I've always been that little bit crazy, but I use it within, if I cut myself, I'll use salt to clean it. But yes, it causes a slight bit of pain, but actually it's nice knowing that it's clean, sort of thing, especially on a building site where you don't necessarily have a lot of antibacterial stuff. Someone's always got a bit of salt, a sachet of salt. So we used to use it a lot on building sites, and it actually, not only does it seal it, it cleans it and seals it. I mean, for years we used to use salt within the medical profession. So it's great for that sort of thing, if you don't mind a little bit of pain. The other one that I didn't mention last week for homeopathy is when you burn yourself, if you put it under cold water, and again, this is Penny that told me this, is you actually put it into more shock, whereas using warm water, or as warm or as hot as you can handle, just allows it to cool down slowly, and it doesn't blister. And I didn't believe it when I first heard it, but then I tried it, and I've never put a burn under cold water since, because I found that putting it under warm water, it heals within a couple of days, rather than having the blister, and then that has to heal underneath, and then the blister comes off, and then that finally heals. So using the similars does work.
Yeah, Laura Simmons.
And I always get that one wrong. Sorry, go on, Penny.
Well, it freaks me out, because obviously I come from a very scientific stable, for want of another way of putting it. You know, obviously as an intensive care nurse, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, I was brought up on the law of opposites, which is basically, yes, you bung, you know, you're talking about burns, putting burns under cold water, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But then when I trained as a homeopath, obviously I was introduced to the law of similars. And the law of similars is you know, like cures like. So, you know, when I first did that, and I think I burnt myself on, you know, taking out something out of the oven. And I went, ooh, and I thought, well, okay, I'll try it. And I did exactly what you said, Matthew, and I put, you know, obviously the burn under warm water, and then gradually warmed it up until it was hot water. And again, no blister, no nothing. The pain immediately went, obviously, you know, for the first couple of seconds, like anything, it's going to hurt a little bit. But it took the pain away, and the next morning you could not see where I'd burnt myself. Therefore, again, you know, I always say to people, the proof is in the pudding, and the pudding is your daily life. So if you try these things out, and I've always said to my students and my clients, try them out in your own life, and just gain the evidence yourself. And then you suddenly realise that actually, you know, there's something going on here on an energetic level. And like cures like is absolutely the truth here. And, you know, I've used homeopathy in my life. You know, I can't believe I've been a homeopath for nearly 30 years. And I always go, I'm not that old, honest. And so every time, it still has the amazing ability to completely mystify me how it works, you know, like curing like. But, you know, Eskimos use, you know, for frostbite, they actually pack the frostbite in snow. and allow it to warm up by itself. Because if you try and warm it up too quickly, that's when you get really bad tingles, you get bad neuropathy, you get all sorts of different stuff. And one of the things when I worked in trauma as an intensive care nurse, is we would always say of a patient, if they're drowned, they're not dead until they're warm and dead. You know, because actually where hypothermia, when people get very, very cold, and especially in drowning accidents, we would never pronounce that until we'd warmed the body up. And then basically tried to restart the heart, because when the heart goes into shock, it's just going to close down. And actually, people can be revived a long, long time after they've been drowned. It just depends on, you know, the medics you, who get hold of you, who, you know, will understand that. And it is, you know, one of those things that we forget, that the body is this amazing machine. And if you give it a chance, it will go back into homeostasis. And homeostasis means harmony. And it means that it's got a, you know, you've got a good chance of reactivating the life force. And, you know, again, I suppose from my point of view, having had all of that experience of working in trauma and working in intensive care, you really do understand that, you know, if your number's not on the bullet, there's a chance of you actually regaining your life force with no real problem. And there are times where we've thought, you know, in an intensive care unit, where there's no way that this person should leave, i.e. they give up their, you know, they give up their life, but they do. And there's nothing you can do to stop it. When it's time for you to leave, it's time for you to leave. If it's not time for you to leave, then there's options that can be sorted out. But anyway, I've gone off point here. But is there anything else you would like to say before I get myself into deeper water here?
Yeah, that. Oh, hang on. Can you, Penny?
Hello.
I'm not sure if you can hear me.
I can, yes.
You can. Brilliant. Excellent. Sorry. Yeah, I was saying that's going into divine intervention. But it amazes me. Something a program I looked at recently was free diving. And when they were just explaining, and I'll be very quick, they were just explaining the science behind breath and that body doesn't actually need as much oxygen to survive. And they were saying that when people do have accidents within diving, you do have a large amount of time. We think we have minutes or seconds to revive somebody, but actually, as you've just said, it can be a lot longer. And we have this amazing, the body is amazing. When we think about its capabilities, and if we just let it do its thing, I mean, when you break your leg, or you can break almost any bone in your body, and all you have to do is rest it and the body will do the work. And it's just incredible. And that's what really gets me about looking back at plant medicines and all the natural medicines. It's like everything on the planet that we need to heal ourselves or our bodies or whatever it is here. And it's so simple, it's genius, and yet we seem to have missed it. And don't get me wrong, I know there is a need for chemical drugs and that side of things, but I think there's a lot more that we could be, or certainly is how I do it, is I use a lot more natural plant stuff, because it feels like the thing that would heal you, and then make a chemical sort of version of it. There's only one reason, and that's money. because you could charge more for it. So I really like to look at, and I've got to be really honest, in my early 20s, never really bothered me nutrition. I was fit and healthy anyway. But as the years have gone on, it's just been, actually, we need to feed our bodies well. What you put into your body, but it's how you put it into your body as well. If eating to you is an inconvenience, and it's like the amount of people, when I used to work in an office environment, they would want to leave half an hour early, so they would give themselves 15 minutes for lunch. And you'd see them in the cafeteria, almost eating their own hand, like just shoving food in without any thought, just so they could get back to their desk. And it's like the frustration and the frenzy that they're in to just get this into their food, to get this into their body so they can go and work again. It's the vibration of that is not good. And it's one of the best tasting omelettes I've ever had was cooked by Penny's husband, Luke. And I've never done one as good since. And it's all down to, you know, when you love cooking and you love cooking for people, and there's nothing but happiness and love going into the food, and it might sound a bit love and light, but this is true, the vibration that you cook at or you eat at also affects the food that's going into your body. So if you're angry and you're shoving food in, it's like you're resenting the food because you want to be working because you can leave early, and it's like the food's not the problem. Your job's the problem. You're not giving yourself enough time to just, it's something we need to do, and we should enjoy the experience and not sort of resent it. And it's something I saw a lot, especially within a like the office environment, not so much within construction, because breaks were very measured. And I think it's because they're not only using their brains, but because you put the physical element in, you need that 45 minutes in the middle of the day to recharge. So I think when I saw it in construction, is a very different thing. If anything, people were overeating because they had the time. But it's very much about what are you doing if sort of when you're cooking the food. It's just setting the intention that you're doing it with love, and if you use Reiki or energy or whatever, send it energy, send for high vibration to the food you're cooking. Water is another fantastic one. A very good friend of mine owns an eco retreat centre here in the UK, and she has the purest water purification filter system you can have. And I thought I'd play a little trick on her. So when she came to my clinic, I said, I've got bottled water and I've got tap water. Can you tell me the difference? And I put bottled water in one glass, and then I put tap water in another glass and sent it Reiki. She said the bottled water was tap water and the Reiki water was filtered. And she was adamant that it was filtered. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I giggled and I thought it was amazing. But it's one of those little experiments that you can do with energy, and everybody can do it. Take two glasses of water and send one love for a minute and leave the other one on the side and see which one tastes better, because I tell you what, they taste different. So thank you for that. Try that while we're on a break.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life, ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs, and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
We are talking about your life. Ever wonder, is this as good as it gets? No, it could be so much better. At Acorn to Oak, we know you are seeking more happiness, joy, unconditional love, financial freedom, passion, and purpose. Find your unique mojo and live an extraordinary life. Want to know more? Contact us at our website, acorntooak.org.uk.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
So I just wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, the mind and the body have a very intimate relationship, and these are at the core of how you're able to master and consistently operate from a powerful state of being. And, you know, for me, that's what helps us achieve superhuman performance. Your thoughts and emotions are expressed through your nervous system. And now more than ever, in the uncertainty that we have in the world, your body has a natural tendency to throw your nervous system into a state of panic, which ultimately disrupts how you think, how you function, how you adapt, and how you respond. You know, the nervous system communicates with every single system in your body, every organ, every cell. And this means that habitual patterns of your mind inform the functions of every cell of your body, every organ, every body system, for better or worse. Now, if you're like most people, you probably have a few patterns of thinking that don't make you feel so good, which we call at Acorn to Oak sabotaging thinking. And these patterns move you into a primordial state. And this is when your body will tense up into fight or flight, your sympathetic responses, and floods your body with stress hormones. This is why you struggle to find the, you know, 2 millimeter shift that will help you in your daily life, in business growth. And during this time, you feel stuck in your thinking and you just feel, you know, you're on survival mode because of the extreme uncertainty. And when your body feels that it's become trapped in a period like this, you know, stress becomes your new normal. And after a while, your body begins to crave this biochemical hormonal hit. And when I talk about the hormonal hit, I'm talking about you become addicted to the cortisols and the adrenaline.
Yes.
and adrenaline. And your body begins to reinforce that sabotaging thinking. And, you know, over the last 3 or 4 decades, I'm not really that old, I've searched, you know, high and low for one of the most effective and easy to implement rituals to accelerate my growth and evolution. And it's, you know, as I was saying earlier on, you know, I just want to share just one with you right here, right now. And that is diet. Absolute. What you're putting into your mouth is what actually is the medicines that you're taking. So if you have one meal, and I know this is, I'm going to get Matthew coming back at me with this one, but, you know, just one meal of animal protein in a week will decrease your blood flow up to 27%, just one. You know, I know that sounds crazy, but it's the truth, and it's the research, obviously, that's been going on in the world. And as you probably know, you know, the blood gives your brain oxygen. Without enough oxygen, then your mind becomes slow, muddy and confused. Proper nutrition, obviously, is the biological infrastructure for that state of powerful being. You know, as we know, everything in the universe has a vibration. Everything resonates. Our body does, and so does our food. And the body has extreme intelligence that can eliminate any dysfunction or disease. But it can't do so if it's out of natural resonance or out of natural vibration with yourself. So again, when you actually look at it and we realise how important our nutrition is, and also the energetic management of what we're doing in life, and realising that if we're not getting enough sleep, if we're not getting enough rest, you know, I'm talking here, you know, one person right here, right now, and I've been really stretched this year, obviously, with having a heart operation at the beginning of the year, going through lockdown, having the coronavirus, then going down with pericarditis. The one thing that I've really learnt this year more than anything else is that, you know, high quality organic plants have a natural resonance with the earth and with your body. So they can help restore you to full true health. And that's why, you know, nutrition can be the single most important pillar in your daily ritual. And making sure, as Matthew was saying, that you have time to eat it and to enjoy it instead of actually just grabbing food on the run and never actually sitting down and allowing yourself to chew the food. Because if you chew the food, then your whole gut activates into realizing it's going to take on nutrition. And half of the problem right here, right now, with people who are suffering from obesity is because they're not actually allowing their bodies to actually use the nutrients that they are eating. And because of stress and, as I was saying, the hormonal imbalance that an awful lot of us are in, we're just not assimilating the food properly. And, you know, that is usually shown because you either have things like diarrhea, or you're constipated, or you're having things that, you know, your gut health is just not good. And so one of the things that I have learned over the last little while is if you literally try this out, honestly, it does work. Go and pick five flowers. So five flowers in your garden or five flowers out in nature. Bring them in and let them soak in water overnight. And then the next thing to do when you wake up the next morning is to get up. Don't talk to anybody else until you've done this ritual. Then just pour the water through a sieve so you get rid of the flowers, and drink the water that the flowers have obviously produced overnight. It literally is like a superhuman food group in itself. It quietens the mind, it hydrates you, and it really gives you amazing energy over the rest of the day. And I've been doing this practice for about 2 months. And the difference that it makes is astonishing. And so I just wanted to give that to you as something to do over the next week. And you'll just really see the difference. So handing back to Matthew for his tips. Have you got anything there?
Yeah, that's something I've tried over the last week. And it does make a difference. I know it's sort of like the shamanic sort of way, isn't it, with the flower groups, plant, all plant has a vibration, and it's using all of these things that we can. Very much with my I would say what's my daily ritual, what helps me to get connected and feel good. It is that getting up in the morning, I do an energization, exercising, grounding and protection, and then meditation. And very much I've changed my lifestyle dramatically in the last 6 months, going from building into running my clinic, whereby I'm not getting up in the morning at 6 o'clock in the morning and frantically running around, like I say, throwing breakfast down my throat because I don't want to be late, and sometimes missing breakfast because otherwise I'll be late. It is that taking my time in the morning. So I won't do anything until I've done my meditation, and then I'll have my breakfast, and then I'm ready to engage, because until I've done all of those things, I'm not at my best. And doing them every day makes a huge difference. And obviously salt showers, something, if you work within the energetic, holistic way, if you're doing Reiki and that sort of thing, salt showers when you get home are really, really good. If I've had an intense day at clinic, I always make sure I have a salt shower or a salt bath when I get home, because I just help it. It makes a difference, makes a huge difference. And yeah, like I say, the flower drinks. There's part of your mind that thinks, oh, that's weird, but it works. And it's like, then you can't argue with it, because then it's like, well, yeah, I've tried it, and used it, like we say, always try it as an experiment. And
well,
it's
I
always
think
what
also
resonates
it,
for.
Yeah, for me, it's also about, you know, it's part of my ritual now, but it's also, for me, it's really getting in touch with Gaia, Mother Earth. And, you know, flowers are her bounty. And, yeah, we're in the right season right here, right now. I don't know what I'm going to do in the winter, especially in the UK. But maybe do some dried flowers. Obviously I'll be shown what to do. But it's really important to remember that the flowers have been out there in the sunshine. They've had bees visiting them. They've had all, you know, insects crawling over them. Obviously, you don't want to drink insects. So that's why you put it through a sieve, you know, to make sure the water is pure. But it's a real gentle way of just acknowledging Gaia, you know, Mother Earth. And that will sustain us. And obviously the water is incredibly refreshing. And, you know, it's probably what has probably helped is I'm actually drinking that type of water now rather than drinking coffee first thing in the morning. So
yeah,
that's probably helpful as well. but it's looking at things like that and looking at things, you know, upping the amount of plant-based food that you eat. I'm not turning around and saying never eat meat again. What I'm saying is, you know, the more plant-based and fruit-based stuff that you're putting into your diet, the more you're actually bringing in nutrition that has been in the sunshine, that has been, you know, photosynthesis, and actually bringing in that real vital energy. And I was just saying, every single thing, you know, in the plant world has a vibration of itself. And some of them will suit you and some of them won't. there's some things I'm sure people will just turn around. I know with my husband, Luke, he dislikes bananas. He won't eat bananas. I love them. And some people have, natural likes and dislikes. I would say to you, very much, it's a case of if you enjoy something that's in the fruit and plant, then eat it. I love avocados. Some people don't like the texture. Avocados is a super group. And, for me, I love to have avocados and eggs in the morning. That's my preferred breakfast. Most people, some people will just go for cereals because it's fast and easy. It depends on your preference, but start doing some research yourself into, food groups and actually what you enjoy and what you don't enjoy. I mean, I've been out today and my son, and he's 3 years old, and I'll put my hand up and go, well, we did hit McDonald's because he loves McDonald's and it was his treat. So, you've got to look at it and go, okay, fair enough. So maybe some of the stuff that I ate today was not the healthiest thing you've ever seen in your life, but you don't do it every day. 24/7, it's a case of that was a real special occasion for my son, and he enjoyed it, and obviously as parents we enjoyed it with him, but it doesn't mean that we go to McDonald's every day, because we don't. He's eating a lot healthier than that, and he believe it or not, as a 3.5-year-old, he's a natural vegetarian. Even at McDonald's, he'll go for, veggie nuggets, not chicken nuggets. And he'll have his chips. Mm. And, the most important thing for him is he has a banana milkshake. He loves a banana milkshake. So. But is there anything that you find that you like or you dislike, Matthew?
Yeah, I mean, I sort of did a bit of coaching with, Gemma Pugh, who's very, very into nutrition. And it was only really when I looked into what I was throwing in and how I was sort of eating that it made such a massive difference, because, like you say, it's almost the stories we tell ourselves. It's kind of, it's all right if you do something once a month or once every couple of weeks, but it's when you're doing it all the time. So for me, it was chucking the cereal in because it was quick and it's easy. Whereas now I'll go for organic wholemeal bread and have toast, but then I'll eat the toast while I'm cooking an omelette, because generally I found I'll eat four meals a day with no problem whatsoever. Just because my body is more than happy to consume it, and I find it very difficult to put weight on. But I've actually found that since leaving the building industry, I'm eating healthier, but I'm also eating more. And it's amazing looking back on some of the food groups that I had picked, just because it would keep you going. And just because it keeps you going, it doesn't necessarily mean it's the best thing. On a good day, going on the construction site, I would take a couple of bananas. Well, you almost need six bananas a day for that. But it would be like two or three bacon sandwiches, a couple of packets of crisps, few Mars bars. And then more often than not at lunchtime, you'd go and find a calf, get a full English breakfast. So a few bits of bacon, a couple of sausages, a couple of eggs, bit of toast, beans, chips. And that would keep you going till dinner time. But that was every day. And it was a pattern. And because you're going with the lads and you all do it. And I didn't realise just how much food it was rubbish that you're throwing in your body. And what Penny said about meat is absolutely correct. it's this myth behind all these guys that go to gym, oh yeah, I had four steaks for breakfast, oh, now I'm going to the gym. And it's like this myth behind meat being a superfood for muscle is rubbish. It's been disproven God knows how many times by how many organisations.
Times and times again.
But it was a story I used to tell myself. So, yeah, just look at what you're telling yourself and what you're putting in your body. You'd be surprised. I was. So, yeah, we'll see you after the break.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
We are talking about your life. Ever wonder, is this as good as it gets? No, it could be so much better. At Acorn to Oak, we know you are seeking more happiness, joy, unconditional love, financial freedom, passion, and purpose. Find your unique mojo and live an extraordinary life. Want to know more? Contact us at our website, acorntooak.org.uk.
Long ago, you wouldn't think of galloping on a horse while doing calligraphy, and you wouldn't have attempted to ride your bike while typing a letter. Yet you think you can safely operate a multi-ton vehicle while texting? Behind the wheel is no place to multitask. If you want to BRB, drive now and text later. Lives depend on it.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, so we're back. So we're also talking about, and we were going to talk a little bit about energy management and how we keep in the flow as well as having great nutrition, which we've been talking about obviously last week and this week. It's really important that you get into some essential rituals or essential things that you bring into your daily life. And Matthew was talking about grounding and protection, so energetically making sure that we're grounded and we're connected, not only to the ground but also to the higher self and the universe. So it's very much about that, and it's also very much about looking at what's really important. And one of the things for me is again, movement. And it's using movement, whether that be in energizing exercises or healing sounds or Tai Chi or yoga, whatever is your preference. But it's having that mindfulness when you're actually doing the movement, and you're not just going to the gym and slogging it and going, oh, I'm just pumping the muscles, but actually doing it in a very conscious state of being. And you know, it's really important that you know, because of the toxins that are in our foods nowadays and the pollution in our environment and the stress and tension that we carry, and, you know, the sea of EMFs that basically are in our lives, whether we like it or not, our nervous systems are amped up all of the time, and it's not a good way of being. And we need to, as I was saying earlier on, to soothe and calm our nerves. And just, we need to bring the energy level down in our bodies so that when we do raise it up again, it does it in harmony. And it does it in our own highest will and good. You know, when we slow down our bodies, our mind slows down too. And that's really important for the way that we're living in a stressed out world right here, right now. Obviously, the pandemic hasn't helped. But, you know, it's really important to know that, you know, going to the gym and doing weight training, if you enjoy it, great. You know, if you go for an occasional run because you enjoy it, so be it. But it's also looking at how to rest and restore the energy in your physical being. And, you know, as I was saying, you know, I love Tai Chi and I love yoga. I don't do yoga in the conventional state. I do Kriya yoga. But I also love to swim, and I love to take my son swimming too. And again, we're just beginning to open swimming pools in the UK, so it will be fantastic to get back to it. But, you know, an awful lot of people do Tai Chi because it's like moving meditation. And it you know, it utilises a slow and very deliberate full body movements. And you also integrate the breath. And, you know, you've heard both Matthew and I talk about the breath a lot in past shows. But again, we'll talk about the breath right here, right now. You know, if you're actually doing, just take five, you know, less than 5 minutes, probably 3 minutes to take some breaths and breathing in through the nose. So it's a real... And then blowing, you know, obviously releasing via your mouth. So it's a... And literally, if you just actually connect two breaths, I would say to you, connect 10. It's amazing how clear your mind will come and how much clarity you have. And how much energy you have just from that one thing. And, you know, it is really, really important to get that stillness within your day. But you can do that when you're sitting at your desk. You can you don't need to do the in-breath or the out-breath noisily. You can just do it quietly. And just, you know, for me, when I was... beginning to train my ego so it would be in service to my soul, I would just literally put on my phone an alarm every hour. And on the alarm, it actually says, you know, remember to love yourself. And that would also help me, you know, take care of myself better, because we have a tendency to totally ignore our authentic needs because we're working or we're doing something or we're being distracted. And again, you don't get distracted if you put an alarm on your phone every hour, because it goes off with alarming regularity every hour to remind you to do something that is going to help you. And I found it incredibly helpful to do that. Incredibly helpful. So again, so I would say add something that's really quiet and still to your routine, something like Tai Chi, meditation, energizing exercises of any sort, and add in something that you enjoy, whether that is running or whether it's going to the gym. I love swimming, so I add swimming to my, you know, I go swimming when now we're out of lockdown, I'll go swimming twice a week. So it's really important. And the great thing about swimming is that weightless feeling of swimming. And just lying, and also adding, just lying in the swimming pool, you know, on your back and floating, just floating for a little while. Because, you know, if you have your head submerged half in water, you automatically take away your hearing to a certain degree, and it's quiet and it's peaceful, and it reminds you of being in the womb. So it's very, very, very safe and secure. So, you know, those are two of my tips. Have you got any there, Betty?
Yeah, for me, it's about, I mean, I won't go into the deep psychology of why people go to the gym, because my friend has spoken to me about it for hours on end, and it's very, very interesting. Look at, with physical stuff, look at what you enjoy. If you're only going to the gym because you have to, take up walking in nature, jogging in nature. I've never been into the gym, but I've always loved sports and I've always loved that side of things. And one of my friends would say, there's nothing you can't do in a woodland that you can do in a gym. He would tell you that 50% are at the gym to look good. 20% are there because they don't like how they look. And I won't go into the other percentages, but it's actually very true. And it's almost looking at, if you're enjoying a run, you're in the flow, you're enjoying it. Like Penny said, you connect with the heart, you connect with nature. It is that flow state. You're enjoying it because you love it. If you're just at the gym beasting weights because you want bigger arms, you're not enjoying it. And what you're actually doing is telling yourself that you're not good enough. And that you need to be better, you need to lift more weight, you have to be doing this, you have to be doing that. And that's not healthy. If you have a goal, if you're an athlete and you have a goal and you want to run a marathon and this sort of thing, having that positivity and pushing yourself is good, but it's not good when you're beating yourself up, which unfortunately a lot of people do within sport. And I look at some of the way that some of my friends train, and they train very differently. Like I say, some are really, really into, and you can just see them, they're in the flow state. One of my friends just loves rowing, that's his thing, and he just loves it. Whereas I've got a couple of friends that, and they look, openly admit, they go to the gym because they want to look beefier. And yeah. But it's, for me, it's like find what's fun for you. So walking in nature, a lot, and again, for a lot of people in lockdown, they're sort of like, oh, well, I can't afford to go to the gym, so this, that and the other. It's like there's gyms are all around the world and they're all green. And it's like everyone's got a park nearby or a common or an area where you can go and... just walk. I mean, even just walking at a good pace for a few miles a day will make a massive difference. I often look at old people, and there was this little old lady that lived down the road from us, and she was about 76, and she was fit as a fiddle. I mean, she would cycle everywhere. She would be doing... There'd be people at 50... sort of bent over, hardly able to walk, and she's practically sprinting past them. And she was known as the walker because, or the cycler, because she wouldn't use a car. And those years of just a few miles a day, well, there's a lot to be said for that, because that constant little bit of work. Like I say, you don't have to be beasting yourself. You could walk 3 miles a day and you would probably extend your life and your physicality by 15, 20 years. So when all your friends, for me, it was all my friends said, oh, you'll lose your six pack when you get to 30. I'm 40 and I've still got it. And none of them ever got one. And these are guys that would spend years down the gym and hate me because I didn't step in the gym and I looked what they considered better. But for me, it was just I had a manual job. It was that little bit. I wasn't beasting myself. And it shows that it's that difference. So even just that walking a little bit will elongate your life massively. But do it with fun, do it with passion.
Yeah, enjoy it. That's the most important thing. Whatever you do, just bring in the joy and allow yourself to feel happy and consciously choose to be happy.
Yep.
Because it is a conscious
Absolutely.
Choice. Okay, Eddie, everyone, take care and we'll see you next
Brilliant.
Week. And stay safe.
Take care, everybody.
And enjoy your week.